Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Wednesday. It is the middle of the week. You are halfway to the weekend. And that means that at 4 o'clock on Wednesdays, we do this thing called the Grand Council. Bring in two of my brethren who've been doing talk radio longer than me. And we ping each other with questions on the issues. And we just see where the chips fall. So let me just go ahead and call the roll from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN out of Huntsville, also writing for Yellowhammer News, doing a podcast, and allegedly being on other stations. Dale Jackson, are you with us? Is he with us? Do we have Dale Jackson? Hi, there he is. All right. Thank you for turning your mic on. We appreciate you. All right. From down south in Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, the editor-in-chief for 1819 News, Jeff Ro Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, Big Rig.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, fellas, I'm going to go ahead and defer to Jeff Poor first. What you got for us?
So today on my radio show, Reed Ingram, he's a state lawmaker from the Montgomery area, has a kind of a crazy idea, but I wanted to run it by you guys. You know how when the schools in Montgomery County failed and the state had to intervene and take them over?
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's what he wants to do. If you have a police department and it's not living up to the whatever necessary standard to ensure public safety, the state would intervene and take over your city's police department.
What
do you think of that idea?
I think that is rife with potential for disaster. What's his standard? Because if all the officers are APO certified, but a bad thing happened, I mean, what's his standard for not living up to their duties? What does he mean?
Crime rate, out of control crime, women driving down Atlanta Highway, getting bullets lodged in their spine and being paralyzed for life, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, just that little stuff. Well, you know, the bottom line is this. Then we're going to be taking over Jefferson County. We're going to be taking over. I mean, is it counties too? I mean, that's a huge undertaking.
And so, municipalities is my understanding.
I don't know that we can. I think this is one of those things that the locals need to take care of the locals, and the state dollars don't need to pay for it. But at the same time, I get it, law and order. But I think this is going to wind up being a real dicey proposition, and you'll have to set a standard on it. Like, how do you do one and not the other? What are the metrics they're going to use? Dale, what do you got?
Yeah, it seems highly unlikely. It's a little different. Taking over one school is a bit different than taking over an entire police department. But you had entire failed districts, right? Like that's
they took over an entire school system.
Yeah, they did.
Right. So you had the whole thing. I don't know. I just don't know how it looks. So what are we talking about? Just getting rid of the chopping the heads off and putting state heads in there? Are we talking about moving in the state troopers? What is? I don't know what this looks like. I like the idea when it comes to the schools. In theory, I guess I should like the idea when it comes here as well, but I'd have to know more about it.
Your own question, Jeff. So what are you thinking? Where does this go?
I mean, it seems very, very difficult to implement, but I don't know. I mean, maybe some kind of state intervention or some kind of restriction of tax dollars. One thing I'd say, like when things got out of control in Phoenix City in 1955.
Oh, yeah.
All they did was just declare martial law and come in and put the National Guard in. So like, there's already like a way, I guess, if things got too out of control, but maybe this is a much different.
Yeah, that was when they assassinated the soon to be attorney general of the state. And Posse Comitatus. They still study that one, by the way, at places like West Point. That was Alabama set a new standard.
Here's a question, though. I mean, and why don't they? I mean, if they're that concerned about it, they should be calling for the governor to do something similar. Send in the National Guard to Birmingham. I mean, if that should be the first step. Let's utilize the weaponry we have to go down that path before we start creating new weapons.
Dale always wants to talk about weaponry. That's dicey, man.
If we already have a way to do it, let's do it that way.
All right. Next question. Dale, what do you got?
Okay. Terry Collins.
Yeah.
Very happy about the Literacy Act, and it's borne some fruit. There's been a lot of questions about what exactly is the reason for all of this is happening. I think it's pretty clear. You put punishments on everyone involved. Maybe we do more of this. The Numeracy Act doesn't have the same punishments, except it goes after the schools. If the schools are disasters, there's a method for taking them over, as we were talking about before. Should we be using this carrot and stick approach? This one's really just a stick approach. Should we be using the stick approach for more things on the state level? Maybe, hey, you know, accomplish this task, or we're going to do something bad to you. I like it. It worked, apparently. Should we be doing more of it?
Are you asking for, like, accountability? That's a novel idea. I mean, these are schools, and there's a teachers union. You can't ask for accountability. Like, we have to actually come in and bring punitive... Yeah, we need more of it. We need a lot more of it. I am for the idea of, if your school is failing, call it failing. Don't give it a new name and make them feel better about themselves. And if a school is consistently failing, then just like the takeover of the Montgomery schools, at some point somebody's got to do something. And I believe that, you know, there should be a relief in place. Like, a principal should not be allowed to continue to preside over failure. So, you know, new leadership might be the necessary. Jeff?
I would agree with both of you. The only problem, I don't know, like, you know how hard it was to get this Literacy Act going, and the stall ball they played in the legislature, and, you know, just getting something like this going would seem to be to me to be very difficult.
It's going to be fun to watch, but I think if the Literacy Act actually produces the kind of fruit they're saying it could, and it's proven that the stick is actually worth wielding once in a while, I see more of it coming. All right, third question, first round. You ready? Here we go. The UAW is upset. The UAW lost. Mercedes won. And now the UAW has, with, you know, every expectation that they were going to, the UAW has filed a complaint with the Liberal National Labor Relations Board and demanded a second bite at the apple. NLRB has gotten really union-friendly in the last, you know, few years under the Biden administration. Your thoughts? Are we going to see a second vote? Is the UAW going to get another bite at the apple? Dale, what say you?
Let's talk about Bessemer and Amazon first. Can we get one of these wines out of the way first before we start moving on to the next wine here? Because that's exactly what it is. There's whining that they lost. It wasn't close. They got beat down. It is what it is, but yes, they'll call for another one. But like I said before, and I talked to Jacob Morrison, who hosts the Valley Labor Report, and is maybe the only media-friendly labor activist out there right now. He basically said, "Oh, that situation from Bessemer with that Amazon plant, that's still ongoing." It's like, guys, it was like, what are we taking so long for? What is the problem with this government making decisions like this? If there's a problem, let's redo it, but I don't see why they would rush to redo anything.
Well, I mean, one of the claims right now is, how dare Mercedes actually bring in consultants? Well, what do you think they're going to do? I mean, go ahead, Jeff.
They'll get another shot at it. The Biden administration, NLRB, will give them another shot at it, and they'll get me again. The only thing I'd say about the unions, if you're the UAW and you really want to grow in Alabama, doing this is going to hurt your cause. If you go back to back like this, people are going to get kind of like irritated by it. It's not going to work. So, I mean, they're doing it at their own peril.
I think they absolutely are. And I think they wore out their welcome. I think I said on the show, I think maybe on one of the grand councils, I actually said too, that when they began to abuse the Auburn, Alabama logos and being told by Nick Saban to quit using his image, I think that they lost some votes right there on the spot. I don't know. More to come on it. All right. Round one of the Grand Council is complete. We'll go ahead and take a break right now. We'll come right back for round number two with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Going back now to round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. First question, second round. Jeff Poor, what you got?
Regardless of a guilty verdict, an acquittal, or a hung jury mistrial, name me a scenario where, whatever the outcome is, that Donald Trump is damaged in his election effort.
I think the only way Donald Trump gets potentially damaged is if it results in a conviction and they put him in jail and he's not able to bond out, which I can't imagine happening. But I was just reading this morning. In fact, I had it on the show earlier that there's actually no law that would prevent him from continuing to run even if he's incarcerated. I think this thing keeps driving his poll numbers up, especially if goofballs like De Niro keep going out there and trying to pull stunts. Dale, what say you?
Well, I think if he is convicted, it creates a little bit of a problem because it gives Trump curious people reason to say no and not jump on the Trump train and say, well, he's a convicted felon. And they're going to beat that drum nonstop and they'll have, you know, a conviction to use. So I think there's no question it doesn't help him getting convicted. All this stuff so far has helped him. He escapes this, it helps him. All that. But I think if he's convicted, I think maybe we're a little in an echo chamber because we want to say, again, I'm not saying nobody doesn't believe this, but I think we want to say that, oh, it helps him. But I don't know, not for people who are sort of on the fence and the people who are like, hey, there's election in 2 weeks. What's going on? It's a felon versus that guy Biden. Okay, I guess. I mean, that's the only issue it hurts him with.
And maybe on that, but, you know, I can look at anecdotal stuff, like even Dennis Quaid, the actor who's about to be in this new Reagan movie, which I can't wait to see, actually. He came out and said that he was not even a Trump supporter until he saw all the lawfare. And then he's a Hollywood guy saying firsthand, I changed my mind. I wasn't going to watch this happen and sit on the fence. So, Jeff, your own question. What are you thinking?
He just wants you to go watch a stupid movie.
Sold.
I don't know. But, hey, I don't think he's a convicted felon, though. I think it probably helps him. I mean, I know right-wing echo chamber, Breitbart boy over here, but nothing they have used on him has scared away the Trump-curious people yet. Okay.
No, and he'll bond out. I mean, even if he got convicted, which I think there's still a good solid chance. There's a good solid chance at the very least he's going to wind up getting a hung jury. But I think that even if a conviction comes up, and the judge decides to, you know, make it an incarcerable offense, that he'll bond out immediately and use it as a campaign tool.
Yeah, I do too.
Look what his mugshot did for him. T-shirts. All right. Next question. Who's got it? Dale.
Jeff, what's up with these people in your train down there in Mobile? They're still talking about this stupid thing. And now the city's like, yeah, we'll give you $3 million a year. But what happens after we stop paying? And Amtrak says, well, then we stop running the train because it's a money-losing stupid idea that you people are doing. So we'll stop. And they go, hey, KIV, can you give us some money? And KIV is maybe not sold on that. Why are we still talking about this stupid Mobile to New Orleans train?
And nobody down here wants this stupid train. Look, you want to go from Mobile to New Orleans. It's not high-speed rail. You get on a train. You have stops. You got to go past Google, Biloxi, Gulfport, past Christiane, and Bay St. Louis and Slidell and into New Orleans. And you go at 35 miles per hour. It's the stupidest thing. People down here will not listen to me. I yell in a microphone about the stupid Amtrak. I lived in D.C. I've taken the Acela. I've taken the regular Amtrak. Everywhere. It is a antiquated form of transit. I don't know why the people down here want it. They act like it's going to bring in tourism. Nobody is going to like it or ride it. We are just feeding people like a very intellectually dishonest narrative about train
travel. And no offense, okay. Listen, tourism.
All I know is tourism. Jeff, don't beat around the bush. Give it to us straight. How do you feel about this?
It's just insane. Don't go ride Amtrak. Get a car. Take the damn Greyhound bus. You'll get there faster.
Who's going from New Orleans to Mobile? Like, if it's going to bring in tourism? That's not going to happen.
The other way around. People here think, well, it'd be great. I could go get on the train and go to the Saints game and get loaded and ride the train back. Somehow this is going to work.
Good. The drunks and the people who can't text and drive really look forward to it, but nobody else wants it. So what a great way to spend tax dollars. I see no reason to beat that topic up any further because I completely agree. It's a waste of money. It's an absolute. By the way, I will say this. Show me a place where they've put in one of these high-speed rails that has actually been successful at this point, and I don't know that they exist.
Just the Acela. I mean, people take the train. You take the train from D.C. to New York. If you fly from D.C. to New York, you got to come in from LaGuardia or Newark or
that's different.
A giant money pit.
The Acela
train will dump you out right there in the middle of downtown and save you an hour.
I get it. This ain't that, though. This ain't that.
No, this is a choo-choo train. This is like coal locomotive stuff.
All right, last question. Here you go. The brand spanking new Alabama Congressional District 2. We got Caroline Dobson and the Democrat Shamari Figures. So Shamari Figures getting all the love, got endorsed by Planned Parenthood, love from Al Sharpton. Let me ask you this. Is he about to get national emphasis? Are they going to put money into this and try to make this a priority race for the Democrat Party? Your thoughts on it. Start with you, Jeff.
What I understand is there's a bunch of seats that are up for grabs. So you have this fight over money, national money from the contestants in different congressional districts, both Republican and Democrat, for national money. I don't know. I think it's close enough where that maybe you would see the money, but on the other hand, it's allowing other campaigns, say like a swing district in Michigan or whatever, to say, hey, you don't want to waste your money in Alabama. You're not going to win that race. Come put it in this race. So that's creating some problems for both candidates, both Dobson and Shamari Figures.
Yeah, and I would say, too, incumbent protection. They always look for the incumbents first, you know, because they've earned it somehow. But, Dale, what do you think?
I don't know. They think this one's gettable. They'll put some money into it. I think they'll spend a bunch of money here on both sides. Trying to keep this seat in the Republican aisle and get a win in red Alabama. I mean, you saw that big win in Madison where they turned a seat from red to blue. That's a sign of things to
come.
So
you got to
win that.
I mean, what do you do? I mean, Lord, we lost. That was a knucklehead race. All right. Well, we shall wait and see. I guess I got to ask you this, though, since you're the Mobile guy there, Jeff, what's Jerry Carl going to do post-Congress?
I'm pushing him to go work in Montgomery in some capacity.
So he's going to be a lobbyist, is what you're saying?
No, like Department of Commerce or Department of something. And he's a good man. He's smart about it. He's got good people skills. He'll be of use to the state, I think.
All right. We shall wait and see. All right, fellas, Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show in Mobile and 1819 News, and Dale Jackson at WVNN up yonder in Huntsville, also with Yellowhammer News. Appreciate you both. Another round of the Grand Council. All right, listen, we got several text messages that I'll be getting to here momentarily. Going to come right back, and I've got a segment you're going to want to hear. this is good. Kakistocracy. Remember kakistocracy? It's one of those words that we have embedded into the lexicon of Right Side Radio. A government run by the least competent of its citizens. And boy, do I have the proof. Kakistocracy coming up next. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.